chapter of the book of John. John, the 11th chapter. Now let's turn to Luke 7 first. I don't know where that came from. Of all the miracles that Jesus performed to confirm the word that he proclaimed, there are none that are more dramatic than the resurrections that he performed. He was able to show that he was indeed deity by being able to overcome death in people who had passed away. First of those that I'd like us to look at is in chapter 7, in which we see him coming to the city of Nain in the southern part of Galilee. And as he comes into town, it tells us that he was walking along and accompanied by a large crowd. In verse 12 of chapter 7, it says, "Now as he approached the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a sizable crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and to her, and said, 'Do not weep.' And he came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt, and he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother." I want you to imagine Jesus coming into a small, dusty Galilee town. There's a funeral taking place. In fact, a funeral procession, probably to take the body out to be buried. Most likely, he had died that very day because it was generally the custom among Jews, as it is even to this day, and among Muslims, to try to bury someone the very day that they died, if possible. And here you have a woman who is especially bereft because she is burying her only child. A woman who didn't have any children was especially vulnerable, especially if she was a widow, and especially if she didn't have a son, because while you might be able to prevail upon a son-in-law to be able to help, you are most secure by having a son. And here, this is the only son or daughter that she has, and you can just imagine that when she's taking him out to bury him, it's a situation in which she's bearing her own heart. Jesus comes there and sees and has compassion on the widow and interrupts the funeral and says, "Do not weep." That may have irritated a few people, because can you imagine a stranger coming along with a big crowd and you're going along with a funeral procession and he says to you, "Don't weep"? What else are we going to do? This is a terrible, pitiful situation. But then we see him touching the coffin. And that causes the bearers of the coffin to come to a halt. And then he says something that no one but he expected. He says, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. Can you imagine how dramatic that was? Can you imagine the impression that it left on everyone who was there? Everyone who was there wound up having news to tell everyone that they saw for the rest of the day and for the rest of the week and probably for the rest of their lives, that they had been to a funeral and someone had come back to life because of the words of this prophet Jesus. Who else can he be? They say in verse 16, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." But oh, much more than a prophet was there. In the next chapter, in chapter 8, it tells us about another resurrection story that Jesus engaged in. It tells us there that beginning in about verse 40 of chapter 8,
that as Jesus returned, the people welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. And as he went, the crowds were pressing against him. Here you have a man who's a synagogue official. May very well be that he served as one of the elders there, because they also had elders at synagogues. But they also would generally designate someone to be a president there to make sure that they observed what was going on in the worship service, that they regulated it, that they made sure that everything was done efficiently and that everything was done consistently with the Word of God. That may very well be this man's position. But this man has a daughter who's dying, and he has no other place to go but hoping that this great prophet can come and heal his daughter. He's healed other people. Maybe he can heal his daughter. On the way home, they are interrupted by the story of a woman who has an issue of blood that Jesus heals passively rather than actively. But after that part of the story is told, it says in verse 49 that while he was still speaking, someone came from the house of the synagogue official saying, "Your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." Imagine how their hearts sank. Here there was hope that Jesus might be able to do something. And yet, but for this interruption, they might have been home in time, but now it's too late. She's died. But when Jesus heard this, he answered him, "Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe, and she'll be made well." How can you recover from death? How can you make somebody well after they've died? But I want you to imagine that here, through tear-stained eyes, this mother and father look to him, and the only one who's giving them a steely gaze is Jesus himself, who with absolute confidence says, "Don't be afraid, but believe." They go on to the house. And it says he didn't allow anyone to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the girl's father and mother. And they were all weeping and lamenting for her. But he said, "Stop weeping, for she's not died, but is asleep." And they began laughing at him, knowing that she had died. Oh, this prophet, this preacher, this healer has certainly... He's gone, he's overstepped his bounds. He's cranked his wick up so high he smoked up his chimney. He's in a situation where he's not going to be able to back up the promises that he's made. However, he took her by the hand and called, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned. And she got up immediately, and he gave orders for something to be given her to eat. And his parents were amazed, but he instructed them to tell no one what had happened. Imagine looking at the already discolored body of their daughter lying there in the bed. And Jesus says, "Child, arise." And all of a sudden you see the eyelashes begin to move. And then the eyes come open. And then her body begins to move. And she sits up as Jesus had commanded. And then Jesus gives them a very difficult command. "Don't you tell anybody." The best news they've ever heard in their lives. The thing that took and saved their broken hearts is something that at least at this point they're not to convey to anyone else. In these two stories, we see Jesus healing someone who had just passed away.
And I can just imagine Jesus' enemies being able to go through and say, well, yeah, she wasn't really dead. She just kind of, they thought she was dead. She swooned, or maybe they had difficulty finding a pulse, but she wasn't really dead, and Jesus just happened to get lucky on this one. Can't you imagine his enemies saying that? Given the fact that at Nain, the custom of the Jews, as it was throughout Palestine, was to make sure that you buried somebody, if possible, on the day that they died, you can again imagine someone say, well, we just thought the widow's son was dead. he may have been in a coma for a little while, and there wasn't much of a pulse, and we couldn't detect any breathing. But can't you just imagine how his enemies would do everything they could to try to throw off on the miracle that Jesus had performed? But turn over, if you will, please, to the 11th chapter of the book of John. I told you we'd get to that. And we see a resurrection here that's different because of the time span that had taken place between the time the man passed away and the time that Jesus healed him. Verse 1 of chapter 11, it says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified by it. Now he loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, then he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after he said this, he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea again. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. Are you going there again? And Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he doesn't stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Then he said, after that, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep. The disciples then said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Sometimes you have to be real plain with the apostles to make sure they understand it. But here, he tells them Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Therefore Thomas, apparently who's thinking still about the fact that there are people out for Jesus' life, says to his fellow disciples, let us go also so that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he'd already been in the tomb 4 days. Notice the difference? When somebody's been in the tomb for 4 days, especially in a warm climate like Palestine, the processes of decay would already have begun to take place. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world.
When she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not come into the village, but they were still in the place where Martha met him. And then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came, when Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died." What a statement of confidence in Jesus, the same that Martha had given earlier. And Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping. He was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Even knowing what he was going to do, isn't that amazing that Jesus could have such compassion for these people that he loved? How that they were hurt so much by death of a loved one. But yet, even though he knew the end of the matter, it was something that touched his heart so that he wept. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" So again, Jesus, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, always the practical one, said to him, "Lord, by now there'll be a stench, for he's been dead 4 days." "Lord, let's not do that. None of us want to be confronted with the fact that our loved one is already beginning to decay." Jesus said, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone, and then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And the man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said, "Unbind him and let him go." The most dramatic of the stories is obviously the one with Lazarus. He'd been dead the longest. He was the one that everyone was most certain about his demise. Perhaps even at the rolling of the stone back, they could smell the stench of death. But you see, even the inevitability of death was not something that stopped the ability of the Son of God to be able to overcome it and be able to restore him back to life. All of these things were things that pointed to the fact that he had to be God's Son. Jesus' own resurrection, however, was the very proof that he was the Son of God, as we're told in Romans 1 and verse 4, that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Of all of the dramatic nature of the resurrections that Jesus is able to perform, none is more powerful than the fact that he was able to overcome death himself. And because of that, we see us having the blessed hope of resurrection ourselves. Remember what he told Martha? He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
He's obviously not talking about physical death, but he's talking about spiritual life that can be given after it has been destroyed by sin. It could be, once again, animated spiritually through the power of Jesus Christ to make forgiveness possible through His precious blood. All of these things that we've talked about are things that I expect all of us at one time or another have thought in reference to some loved one that we've lost. Well, if Jesus could have just been here, maybe our words replicate what Mary and Martha had both said. Lord, if you'd have been here, we know that this wouldn't have happened. Generally, I think if we think a little longer about it, we recognize that's not the best. Relatives that I've had in the past, I wouldn't want to call them back from their eternal reward to just to live a few more years in this life. Or even children that I've known that have passed away, I wouldn't want to call them back to the troubles of this world, away from the security that they have in Jesus. But all of us have been tempted to think the same thing, I'm sure, about every one of these miracles. But as it tells us, in the fifth chapter of the book of John, this is a situation that pales. All three of these resurrections pale when compared to the resurrection that God is going to make available to us through Jesus Christ. In verse 25 of John 5, there Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in Himself, even so He gave to the Son to have life in Himself. And He gave Him authority to execute judgment, because He is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear His voice, and will come forth, those who did the good deeds, to a resurrection of life, and those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment." Don't expect death to be undone by the miraculous in your life today. Not for your physical life anyway. But the beautiful thing about what the Lord has done, because He is King of kings and Lord of lords, as He has been able to overcome death for you and me and make sure that the resurrection that every one of those that we've read about had, the widow's son at Nain, Jairus' daughter, Lazarus, will pale in comparison to our own. Because while we don't read about it, I'm satisfied that every one of those was raised to die again. And the Lord has made it possible for us to be able to be raised to die no more. As is mentioned here, there's going to be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. But one is a resurrection of life, and the other is the resurrection of judgment. What do you seek this morning? Just as certain as you are living, death is in your future. The only exception would be as if the Lord comes back before your physical demise. But it is appointed that a man wants to die, and after that comes judgment. But you know, the resurrection that truly matters is the resurrection that can occur when you are raised to walk in newness of life after coming to the Lord in faith, showing it through repentance, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and being baptized so your sins can all be washed away and you can be raised to walk in newness of life. You can be born again, never to die again. You've probably heard the old statement, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. What choice are you going to make this morning? There are those in the audience who are not in a right relationship with God, and we don't like that. The Lord doesn't want that. Jesus Christ came to make your resurrection of righteousness, of judgment, of justice, of life possible. Why not take advantage of the terms of pardon that we've outlined this morning and come in obedience to the gospel while there's time and opportunity? There's a great day coming, a day of resurrection. Is yours going to be a resurrection to life, or is yours going to be a resurrection to eternal spiritual death? Think about these things, and if we can help anyone as they make things right with their Lord this morning, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.